And I can't remember exactly what ages there were, but I remember specifically thinking, okay, everybody stop growing, which isn't fair. They didn't want to stop growing.
Yes.
But it felt so good for me to be where I was with them, and I just enjoyed them. I wish I could have, you know, just had one more, more one-on-one time with them, which I would have mm-hmm. known then what I know now.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Let's get started here on the Who Is Your Mama podcast. If I am not recording a Who Is Your Mama podcast, then I am probably working at my company, Tippy Toes. I want to tell you about Tippy Toes because there are awesome business opportunities and it might just be a right fit for you. Tippy Toes is a children's dance company and we go into schools and we offer dance classes on site. It is a blast. You don't have to have dance experience, but you do have to have a passion to build a business and make an impact in your community because that is what we do at Tippy Toes. It is a franchise, so you get to run your own business, but you are not in business alone. If you have any interest in possibly exploring the idea of Tippy Toes, of running a franchise yourself, please reach out. Go to check out our website, tippytoesdance.com. That's TIPPITOESDANCE.com, tippytoesdance.com. You can learn more about what we do there at Tippy Toes. And who knows, we can even get to hang out more. So go check it out. Would love to see if that is a business fit for you.
I wanted them to be friends for life. I wanted for them to be like, these would be the people that they would spend the, you know, the most of their life knowing. Mm-hmm. And that I wanted them to be just strength and a resource for each other. Mm-hmm. And so I really, it was important to me that, you know, they cultivate that friendship, that they were kind to each other and thoughtful. And especially then when they got in, because it's so hard, you know, in the younger years, they fight and do all the sibling mm-hmm. things, and that's just normal. But then by the time we got to high school, then they were really supporting each other. And then if somebody had something, you know, hard happen, you know, the others would call them and encourage them or, you know, go to them or whatever. So mm-hmm. that was part of it too, that I just had this vision of wanting them to be a, you know, a support system within, you know, themselves that they would have for life and know that those people were out there, even if they were across the country, they were out there and they, you know, they loved you too, and they'd be there for you and you could count.
How did you do that? So I'm still in the phase of my sister flicked yeah. me in the nose, you know, like we're still in that phase with the 3, 5 and 7 year old at my house. And so, but yeah. my yeah. sisters are my best friends. And
yeah.
I still also remember doing the typewriter on my sister when we would wrestle and I would, you know, tap her, you know, like, so I yeah. know that it happens, yeah. but I'm yeah. curious for you, yeah. like, can you pinpoint things or was it how you spoke to them?
Yeah, I would actually tell them that like these can be your friends for life. Like I would, you know, a great resource and they absolutely, they did their fighting, their arguing. What I think is funny, I just have to mention Jess on this because she, she actually would kind of organize them and create games, obstacle courses, things like that. And just to have them all.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. Yes. I mean, she just, so when she gets up and leads, you know, she does enjoy that. And not to say it was always natural for her, but she did do that at home.
It's so funny because that's like what she does for me every week. You know, like she organizes me and keeps me on task. And she, yes. you know, that's
it
really
is.
Funny.
Yes, so it is funny. It is. And again, that's kind of just the natural part of who she is mm-hmm. and what she learned. And maybe it was the, you know, birth order. I don't know. But she did. She would, you know, organize them. We, you know, and then they'd perform. And so it was really funny.
So you would tell them, you know, you guys are, it was more of a conversation of letting them know kind of, I mean, I guess speaking to what you hoped would happen was kind of
yes.
maybe the approach of, yes. of how, and then once they stop the punching your sister in the arm phase, they right. they kind of right. heard that dialogue in their head from you. Is that kind of how you feel like that transpired?
Yeah. Yes. And I do. Yeah. Because they did their little, they did, and especially in middle school. And I don't know. I mean, you know, it's still kind of hard. But one thing that I really didn't like, we didn't yell. So at the house, it like we didn't yell. So I know there's some homes, lots of homes where parents will do, you know, a lot of yelling. And so I guess I just try to model that. I guess, and not to say, oh my goodness, there's so many times I failed, you know, and so remember it's that good enough motto,
yes.
good enough parent motto. But I wanted, you know, I just had hoped that they would, you know, the kids do live what they learn. So I hoped that if they had, you know, could see me being kind to them and kind to each other. However, I was a referee too at times, and people say don't be referees, but I was. Might as well have got my whistle out. But still, you know, just having that long vision that you can be friends. And even when, this is kind of funny, when the kids were younger and they, like, I don't know, the younger kids would pick on the older kids would pick on the younger kids or something, take advantage of them. Mm-hmm. And I would say, actually, you know, one day, because our fourth, our son, he's 6'2", one day he's going to grow up and he might be taller than you and bigger than you. And so you might really reconsider how
your
you're
approach
treating.
Here. Yes.
That's right.
Right.
But anyway, it was, you know, just kind of trying to have that mindset of, you know, that these are potential friends for life.
Yes.
And, you know, we kind of go through the good times and the hard times. But
well, I think it's a great gift to give your kids. That's for sure. Because you think as an adult, gosh, friends come and go or you move or whatever. But if you have a core group
right.
of people that know you and love you, again, for who you are, not
right.
what you do, that's a really special gift. You mentioned not yelling, and I find that really interesting because I spoke to another mom who said the same thing, that there was just no yelling in their house, and it became something
yeah.
that their kids really, they could tell, you know, they didn't want to go to other places where there was a lot of yelling. So,
right.
so Mike, I'm curious,
right.
you know, as you guys, that kind of leads me into, I think a lot of people are yelling to try to get their kids to do something or they're
yes.
disciplining them or something.
Yes.
So what did you do, you know, in those days? Again, this is kind of backtracking a lot for you because
right.
your kids are grown now, but when they were little, and of course, discipline has to be a part of what you're
right.
doing, I think, maybe not, you tell
right.
me, but what
no.
was your approach there? What was your approach with them when they would go
yeah.
awry or they would do things that you weren't,
right.
you weren't happy with?
So I'm going to address the kind of overall approach later when the kids got in like grade school and the not yelling kind of way back in the 90s when the kids were being raised, 80s and 90s, Jim Fay was big with love and logic. And mm-hmm. so, you know, the consequences are more logical to how that consequence might happen and play out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of, you know, what I followed. Definitely when they were toddlers, they had to be redirected and mm-hmm. redirected. And there were times when they needed time out or a time in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that type of thing. And I guess probably my no yelling went back to my childhood in that my parents didn't yell at each other. So I didn't see that. I didn't see that model. So that's really much easier to pass on when you don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
When it's not part of your childhood. However, my dad would get angry ever so often, and he would just get angry. And when he would get angry, it's funny because then I would go quiet. And so mm-hmm. that's what I kind of learned, that kind of my style is that when somebody gets really worked up, I go the opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, maybe that was helpful. Mm-hmm. I know as a counselor now that, you know, the empathy of a person's emotion is important. And when we're dealing with kids, to actually acknowledge the emotion that you see them feeling, because then you can put words to it and they can put words to it, and it helps them just, you know, go, oh, okay, that's what I'm feeling. And then I can actually express this in a word way. But anyway, so the yelling, you know, wasn't, you know, it just, I just wanted our home to be kind of like a safe refuge. Mm-hmm. However, there's chaos too. So I, you know, I qualify that. But when the kids had gone, you know, when they're out at school and then they come home, you know, the school's hard. People, you don't know what kind of day they've had. And so you want them to come home to a place that, that feels safe and secure. Mm-hmm. And so, but, you know, for many, many people, that's what they grew up with. And they think that, you know, they just, that's normal. It's what they know.
Right, right.
And so, and, you know, to not do that, to change. So what I did was, you know, I kind of would let them get upset and I would let them have 15 minutes if they needed to cool down. And then we could talk about it later. Or there were times when maybe I needed to take a time out. Actually, there were times when I needed to take a time out. Mm-hmm. I needed to, yes. I needed to have myself a little break.
I can relate. So, yes.
Right. So I could just calm down and, you know, and kind of bite my tongue and mm-hmm. really reevaluate what I wanted to say or do. And so, you know, that's, it's kind mm-hmm. of, I know there were times when I would spout off a certain consequence and I knew I wasn't like, that wasn't, I wasn't going to follow through with that. I wasn't going to take whatever way up for a month. Right. And so right. then I, you know, then you learn that, well, I really shouldn't do that. Maybe I should, you know, think about that for a minute and I'll get back with you on the consequence. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
But then I, one example comes to mind when the kids were older, or a couple do that, you know, that maybe, you know, one son, I don't know, maybe he stayed out too late, something like that. And so, you know, the car, he, it's funny, he had to go to practice the next day, didn't let him drive his car. And I think I must have had to go somewhere else, so I mm-hmm. couldn't take him. And so I made him drive our big old, we have this huge green high top old van. Mm-hmm. And so I made him drive that. And, you know, I don't know if that made a point or not, but just right. being a little creative too with, sure. with the consequences. My daughter, one of my daughters said that she came home mad one time. She was a teenager and so mad at me. And she threw all of her clothes out of a closet. And then she said she took a look and sat there for an hour and I didn't come up and I didn't say anything. And then after she, you know, then she's like, oh, great. Now I've got to put all these back.
I've got to clean my room again. Closet. Yes.
Right. Right. And so I just, you know, kind of not to be reactive as far as, but it, you know what? That is so easy to say and mm-hmm. so hard to do when you're in the moment.
Yes. And but you know what? It's good to hear though. You know, it's kind of good to hear from you with your experience and your kids who are amazing adults that, you know, not that I'm going to get it right every time, but hearing you say that, you know, if it just can be a whisper, you know, to me of like, right, okay, don't react, you know, just kind of in those moments, because I have seen those moments where you're like, what are you doing? Yes. This is crazy, you know, but going, you know, the coming right back with another forceful reaction, you know, probably is very counterproductive and isn't really getting my message across either. It's just like, you know, more butting heads at that point.
Right. And that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's exactly right. Because we're not even thinking at that. I mean, our rational isn't really working very well. Right. And so we need to take a breath and take away. And you know, like even if, like for me, it was like, okay, now I need to do this and I need to do it differently. And if I can do the other little less mm-hmm. and this more, you know, that those little blow ups might happen much less, then mm-hmm. then that's good. Like it's all progress. And right. again, then give yourself grace and not beat yourself up if you, you know, when you trip up or when you mess up, because you will. And I certainly did over and over again. And, but you know, what's important too is being able to say you're sorry. And to be able to make that kind of repair. And that's important too. And, mm-hmm. and that's kind of one of my mottos. It's actually, it's never too late. Even as adults, if, you know, to, if there's still something underlying, you know, that you can always go back and say, you know what, I'm really sorry about that. And, mm-hmm. Didn't mean it in that way. And so,
right.
That's, That's an option too. It's always a good option.
That's a great lesson too, because it really, I mean, that holds true in adulthood. You know, you can always, you can always apologize and go back, and you know, it still means something, even if it didn't happen in the heat of the moment. It still matters.
Right.
Well, can you just kind of looking back at, I've loved hearing about, you know, so much of what you've done. It makes so much sense. And like you said, it's easy to say it, but it's also a life that you lived. And, I think you can see your kids today who are just really wonderful people and happy in their life and content, which I think as a parent, so much of what you're looking for. When you look back, what was the most enjoyable time for you? And of course, I know it's probably hard to narrow it down, but as a parent, what did you love, you know, looking back, what were some of your highlights of your most enjoyable time looking back?
Parenting as this, you know, my husband and I, and just doing that together and looking back. And I will add also that there was a point, like, my husband's a CPA, so I felt like I was a single parent for like 3 months out of the year, every year, which was kind of hard. But when I look back, I can't remember exactly what ages they were, but I remember specifically thinking, okay, everybody stop growing, which isn't fair. They didn't want to stop growing.
Yes.
But it felt so good for me to be where I was with them, and I just enjoyed them. I wish I could have, you know, just had one more, more one-on-one time with them, which I would have known then what I know now, and, you know, different ways to do that. But looking back, I just enjoyed them. I knew that was first season, and I knew that, you know, I mean, nobody's guaranteed tomorrow, but generally over lifespan, you have different seasons and different phases in life. And I knew I was in that phase. And so we were going to do this for a while. And then my husband was always, you know, big on them becoming independent. And so I knew we'd do this for a while, and then it would be empty nest and they'd be gone. And then I could do, you know, other things and as the seasons of life go. And so just knowing that I was in that phase and reminding myself, even though, especially when they were toddlers, especially when they were all little, you know, it just was so hard to find that break and to get that time away, but that, you know, just keep plugging along and you know, just enjoying them, to be able to take the time to really enjoy them. However, again, it's hard because you're in the midst of it all.
Right.
But just looking back, just to appreciate these little human beings that are gonna, and sometimes even to look at them and imagine what they might look like as adults. Like, they're going to grow up and then be these adults. And then the relationship, you know, changes to a, you know, more of a friendship, an adult-adult friendship. And so how, just see the, kind of see the future of what, you know, what can be, and letting them have, you know, more independence as they go, and just enjoying, oh my goodness, enjoying the events that I, you know, got to sit and watch, and maybe not so much helping with them with homework until midnight or one.
That's not nearly as appealing. We're not at that phase yet. And I'm like, oh, that's going to stink. That's real. I didn't like homework the first time around. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to like it the second time around either.
Like, you know what? You learn a few things, know, when you go through it the second time, you learn a little more.
It sticks probably a little bit more, I would feel like.
Right.
Well, you mentioned that one, you know, having, you tell me if I'm wrong, but that looking back, you maybe wish you would have had more one-on-one time with the kids.
Yes, I do.
Is there anything? Yes. I guess just because, again, you had so many kids in such a short amount of time, that would have, you know, that would take a lot of intentional, you know, focus you know, drive to do. But that's interesting, and I feel like it's one of those things too that's like, well, if it is on your mind and an intentional thing that you want to do, it can be done. You know, like, you can definitely do that. But that's.
Yes. And I tell you, and it does have to be intentional generally. If you've got, you know, I should say a lot, or even if a mom that works full time and you come home and you've got just a little bit of time with the kids before, you know, they go to bed or whatnot, So what I've learned now that I wish I knew then was even just a half hour of just telling one of the children, and like it's just like say just once a week or twice a week at the most, or even just once a week, a half hour, I'm going to do something with you and you get to choose. And just you choose, and we'll play whatever game you want to choose, or, you know, this, and it's only half hour. So it's not like, oh, good, take me to Six Flags.
Right. Love that. That's so like great.
And they choose, and then they get to, you know, then you get that time to where, I think it's important that then it's the one-on-one. And so that's what I would have liked to have done.
I am going to steal that, Julie, and I'm going to try to do that. I love that. What I have gotten caught in is like, well, I can't, you know, I think, oh, well, you know, let me have one and I'll go to a movie and take them out to lunch, you know, and then all of a sudden that becomes, oh, forget that. I can't do that. It doesn't happen, but I've got 30 minutes, and I love the idea of being like, what do you want to do? You know, instead of me saying, let's play this game, it could be like, okay, if you want to play restaurant for 30 minutes, let's do it.
Yes.
You know,
like, absolutely. Really, do you want me to color with you for 30 minutes?
Yeah. So approachable.
And we are saying to actually put the timer on the clock, because if you let it, I mean, just in that, I mean, yeah, you can kind of let it bleed over a little bit, but, but if it goes too much over, then you won't want to do it the next time. Then you might go, oh no, turn into an hour and I don't have an hour. So, your child knows it's this amount of time. Okay, let's do something. And then it becomes regular and, and it becomes something.
I love that. That's so great, Julie. Yeah. That's really powerful, I think. Well, okay. You've had this amazing career of raising children, and you know they're such wonderful people today. And honestly, and I don't know them all.
Again, I didn't know how all that was going to turn out.
Yes, that's so yeah. But it's interesting, isn't that? It's like nothing else. You know, there's nothing else where you think I'm working so hard towards this, and I have no idea if this is going to turn out. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Right. I'm going to follow the best wisdom that I can find out there and give this a try.
Yeah. Well, today, so sitting where you are today, what makes you most proud when you think of your kids?
You know, when I think of them, it makes me most proud that they have good hearts, that they really care about and love people and, are compassionate. And that they have, you know, like I say, own their faith. Mm-hmm. So that has been that they've taken in that part of their faith, that it is the foundation that they can carry on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if other things fall away, they've still got that foundation. So those would be, and, you know, and I do enjoy being with them. And so that's always good to say, right?
Yes,
I really love them. Like them.
you want to hang out with them. Like that's really great.
Yeah.
So, and you have, you know, some of your kids, you know, obviously have parents or have kids. And so they're parents too.
Right.
And I don't, you know, I'm curious what, you know, again, it's like such a huge question, but what advice do you have for parents? Like in general, if you were like, you know, looking back at what I know now, you've also become a counselor, which is awesome. And I'm sure you've learned lots of things in that profession.
Right.
What advice, again, I'm sure it could be never ending advice, but a couple things or one thing or whatever that you think would be really helpful advice for a parent.
Yeah. Again, it goes back to just seeing that child uniquely as an individual, not an extension of you, but really as this own little creation who has value and worth and purpose. To, you know, really encourage that, to, you know, provide the safety to be with them too. And here's one other thing that I really, you know, when I think about my grandkids, right? And I call them my grand. I think about them, and you know, Jess has done a great job with her kids and Jacob, and now, you know, the littlest baby, the newest, and they're just all, you know, doing good jobs. But really, to just again, see that child as unique. They do that. Actually, this thought may come back to me because it was kind of like, to encourage them. Oh, that's what it is. To praise them. To praise more than criticize. And that's what my kids are doing great with their kids. And that's one thing that I realized that I wish I would have done is, and when I say praise, it's not just fluffy praise, but it's about the character. That was really a kind thing that you did, or wow, I can see how you really helped that person, or you know what, good job on that.
Yeah.
Because I've learned now that it takes like 5 positives to balance 1 negative. And so I've just, you know, watched my kids actually with their kids really encourage and you know, just praise them, but not empty praise, because that the kids know the difference between that too.
Right.
And so, but that it's, yeah.
I've never heard that 5 positives balance a negative.
1 negative. Yes.
That's so yes. Interesting.
That's research driven on that. And so it takes 5 positives to balance 1 negative. And so it's always a good thing so I always say, catch your kids being good. Just catch them being good. Because that's when, you know, often it's the negative. So what I was going to say before was, I believe every behavior has a purpose. And sometimes the behaviors that aren't good, it's like, what, you know, we get angry about it, but then look at the underlying, what is the, be curious, what's the purpose in that? Are they trying to get my attention? Is it because, you know, negative attention is better than no attention? You know, just that kind of thing. And so, so that's kind of the, you know, kind of a wholesale advice, if you will, when, you know, you're raising the little one. You know, and how I would have liked to have done some of those things different, because I didn't know that back then.
Yes.
So I didn't do that, but I love that, you know, kept him being good. Just, hey, you're just, you know, wow, you're really, you know, working hard at that, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's so great. And it's more fun as a parent to, you know, if you say, you know, I'm going to shift my attention to the good behavior. And I'm not, because I think, and honestly, to be perfectly honest, where I am right now, I am, sometimes I feel like just correcting bad behavior as, you know, they're too, you know, that their ages.
I know. Yes.
I don't feel that way. Like when I see them, I'm not thinking, God, these kids are so crazy and bad. I just think, well, don't throw that in at me as I'm driving, or don't, you know, but it's like, you know, but there's also so many times that I'm like, oh, they held the door for their sister. Well, that was nice. Yeah. But am I talking about that as much as I should? You know, I think that's really
smart. Yeah. And that's it, because you can feel like, you know, you really don't want to be this negative person, but they're doing a whole bunch of things.
Yes.
But then, okay, well then I'm going to try to balance that out with, I'm going to catch you being good. Just sit there. Wow. Yes. You are riding so nicely in that car. Yes.
Such a good example. Wow. You guys are so, Yeah. That's a great example. That's
right. Those are the positives. And so, you know, to be able to do that. So it doesn't feel like it's wow. And that's what I wish. That's one thing I definitely wish I would have done that I didn't do and I didn't know about. And then even, you know, as far as hugging and touching and just, you know, the good hugs and I love yous and that kind of thing. But, So
I love that. That's awesome. Well, what would your parenting motto be? Like if you had to say, you know, kind of something that plays over in your head, what would you say would be a good thing to have playing over your head as a parent?
Okay. Well, that's kind of tough, because only my parenting motto right now is, as I sit where I'm at, I'm like, it's never too late. Like, you know, even if you didn't do something right, it's okay. And then grace would be another parenting motto, because so often we try for perfectionism, which then will set us up for failure, because nobody's perfect.
Right.
And then we can beat ourselves up and be really hard on ourselves. So really, you know, grace, be grateful, don't beat yourself up. There really is a theory out there called good enough parenting.
Okay.
And I believe it, because that's what I'm going to say I did, good enough parenting. And
I would say so.
That's just to allow yourself to, you know, make mistakes, miss the mark, but then, you know, if an apology is needed, you can do that. And it goes both ways too, with the kiddos too, you know, to kind of apologize, but that they just know that in the end, they're, they're loved.
Right.
I mean, just that they know they're loved, that they are. And this is just a season.
Right.
Part of that motto is this is just a season. And it's hard and it's tough. But invest now in it when they're littler. And then it won't be so hard when they're teenagers. Not that I would ever want to do the teenage years again.
Yes.
but it's not, you kind of set the groundwork.
Right.
So.
Well, I would like to just keep you in my ear all day long because this was just really insightful. And I loved, what you shared and, you know, the few things, you know, when you talked about wanting, you know, telling your kids that, you know, or when you were raising them that you wanted them to be friends for life and then to see that they are today.
Yeah.
That is so cool. And, you know, I just think there's so many lessons that you naturally did that are awesome. And then also I feel like just speaking with you, I can sense the grace that you want other parents to embrace,
right.
You know?
And
I think that it's never too late motto makes a lot of sense, even for me where I am. Cause you know, I know that I can do better and I can like starting right now, you know, and then tomorrow I can try to do better again, you know? So that's kind of a freeing thing. Cause I do think sometimes as a parent, I feel stress of like, oh geez, did I mess it up? Am I, you know, because I want so much for them and I want them to feel so loved. Like I don't ever want there to be any question in their mind. But if I know like, hey, we can correct here, we can make, you know, we can continue to try our best. That's helpful. Yeah. So,
and really it's modeling again, you know, they're watching you. They're learning by watching you. So the grace that you can give yourself and the way that you can, you know, do that is important for them to watch too. And yet I know when you talk about, I mean, you can see that, like, we know certain things that if you do this thing, something, this bad thing, but they don't know that. Anyway, we still want to protect them from everything.
Right.
And it's so hard because then we can't, but we try really hard. But again, that's where that it's such a fine balance for them to kind of have to have their own life experiences and learn.
Yes.
But in a safe place to where it's a learn the little lessons, you know, that are early, they're not so dangerous.
Right. Yes.
In a safe environment
When it's not, when it could be more intense or whatever. Well, Julie, I am so grateful for your time today and you sharing your experiences. I am such a fan of your oldest, Jess, and she is just a really special person. And so to get to speak with you, it sheds so much light. And I think
I know
your words will be heard by parents and I think really welcomed and helpful and some really great kind of even just like quick tips, but also overreaching, you know, philosophical ideas that you shared are really awesome. So there is no doubt that you are one awesome mama. And so I am glad that we got to learn more about you. And I just appreciate you being on the podcast.
Well, you know what? It has been an honor. I consider it an honor. And so thank you for giving me the opportunity and saying all those kind things that that are maybe true.
They're true, everyone. There's no doubt they're true. Well, Julie, I appreciate you so much. And I'm going to keep you as my little subconscious as I go forward. So, so thank you for that. And you have an awesome day.
Thank you.
Oh man, I enjoyed my conversation with Julie so much today. She had so many wonderful things to share, and I really appreciate her kind of pulling the curtain back of her experience. And things I really thought were impactful was how she was talking about how she always wanted her kids to be friends for life and how important that would be as an adult. And to know that really she just kept that as a narrative in their household, which I think is really a great way to go about it and something that we could all do. And then I love the advice of catching your kids when they're doing good. I feel like I can do that. You know, I feel even on the frazzled days, if I see them holding a door or something like that, I love learning from parents and moms like her because, like I said, her children are awesome and achievers, but also really content and happy and bringing a lot of goodness to the world. So it was an honor and such a great conversation. And I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, feel free to tell somebody else about it.
There is nothing better than learning from these brilliant moms. Please come back for our next episode as we continue the parenting conversation, learn insights from moms who have been there and done that.